We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I don't know if we can get that first slide up. We're going to talk about what's underneath. And we're going to talk about right now, we're hearing so much in this world. Our society's in turmoil. Even churches are in turmoil. And there's a lot going on. And yet underneath all of the emotions and voices in turmoil, God has such a powerful and clear word for us. So we're going to listen to that together. I don't know if you've ever had the experience or had a friend who bought a house and some nasty old rug carpet was in it. And then, they pulled off the nasty carpet and then there was this gorgeous wood floor underneath, right? And it was the whole idea, like the whole house changed when you got rid of what was on top and you got down to what was underneath. Or maybe you've heard the story. I think we all are, you know, we all hope this one day. You hear the story of the person goes to a garage sale, buys a $3 painting, right? And then discovers underneath the Crayola painting of their 8-year-old, there's like the Mona Lisa underneath it, and it's going to be like $3 million for them. The idea of like, it was so more valuable than you realized, but you had to get underneath. So here's what we're going to do today. There is so much public social turmoil and issues, right? Public social issues. And we've got to address them. The church has got to be in the middle of bringing God's glory to all of these things. But we've got to get underneath them and get to the private spiritual issues in our life. Because if we don't guard our heart and make sure our heart is in the right place, we're never going to process, discern, or respond correctly to the public social issues. So today is really a word about who we are in the church family, and it's a word about who we are as disciples of Christ. We've got a whole bunch of other dialogues going about how the church is responding to the social issues and working for justice and working for compassion and all these things. Today we're going to focus on who we are as the church family and who we should be with each other and look underneath all the chatter and all the noise and say, okay, who do we need to be? So the beautiful thing is, like Pastor Anidra said, we're in the middle of this, or we're just beginning the summer playlist. So guess what we're doing? We're getting to the hard, beautiful hardwood floor under the nasty carpet. We're going to start at the foundation that has made our lives and church and what can make communities beautiful. We're going to start in the story of Genesis. And the first stories you're going to read this week are the creation story, the fall story, the story of the flood, the covenant of Noah, and the Tower of Babel. And you're going to see how Jesus is in all those stories. You're going to understand how it applies to your life and how God's glory is there. And we're going to unpack some of that right now. And we're going to do it so that we get underneath all the public social turmoil and get to the personal spiritual peace you and I can have. So tomorrow morning, you're going to start with Genesis chapter 1. And here's how the story begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, in the very beginning, there was chaos. It was formless and empty. And yet God's Spirit was there. And as God's Word and God's Spirit came together, light came and a beginning of good life instead of chaos and emptiness was begun. So the thing we've got to recognize in the conversation we're going to have today is that everything physical begins and is empowered in the spiritual. That's the reality of the universe. It's the reality of what we're going through right now. So we have a society that's kind of popular in saying, I don't want you to pray anymore about what's going on. I just want you to do something. Well, I get the issue of action because we absolutely have to do that. But it all begins in the spiritual. We don't want to give up on prayer. A matter of fact, what's most important is underneath all the physical turmoil going on, underneath is our spirits have to be in the right spot. So Satan loves to give you 99% truth and 1% lie to take your life 100% off course. And so what you and I need to do right now is we need to make sure we're addressing the spiritual before the physical. Now, I almost said more than. I would say this. I would say more than. I would say that because of the very how the world was created and who we are, it always starts in the spiritual. And the good news is for all of you who are saying out there, well, stop praying and act, there's no way that the spiritual doesn't end up in the physical. And so prayer is the beginning of social action, of the change that needs to be. And so it always starts there. Now, we keep on in Genesis chapter 1. You're reading this tomorrow morning, right? And what does it say? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply or increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over. So here's the issue. The world was created spiritual first. And anytime you put physical before spiritual, it always gets messed up. Spiritual first, physical second. But then you come to who you are. Now, right now, we live in a world that wants to tell you who you are and wants to use all the worldly physical labels to describe you, how much you're worth, who you should relate to, who you are, and what you should do. Well, what the Bible, what this first story shows us is that God created you in his image to start in the spiritual. If you're like the God who created you, then you always start in the spiritual. And the good news is that always results in you partnering in the physical. All right? So the Bible tells us that God is love, so that's always his image. So don't let any other label define you more than how God has created you to be. You are created to be in his image. To start, you're like him, so you do things like him. You start in the spiritual, and then it always leads to partnering in the physical. You are a partner with God to create life and to destroy chaos in this world. You are a partner with God to create life and to destroy chaos in this world. Now, unfortunately, we're going to get to Tuesday. And Tuesday, you're going to read about the fall of mankind. Because as my friend once said, man is always the three S's. Stupid, sinful, and selfish. Right? So all that God created us to be, we tend to ruin. And what is the story of the fall? Except that Adam and Eve forget that they're the image of God. Because according to this verse right here, Satan's tempting them to say, do you want to be like God? Then go after the physical first. So what happens is man forgets he's already in the image of God, goes after the physical before the spiritual, and was created always to be a partner in this earth. So who does he end up partnering with? Satan. Does he realize he's doing it? No. But does he? Yes. And instead of creating life and destroying chaos, what does he do? He ends up creating chaos and destroying life in that moment. So we've got to recognize that that's our story. Now, in God's response, it's very significant because the verse we're focusing on today, Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God's response to the failure of mankind and the chaos that is now being given the chance to rule is very interesting. God does not by himself decide, I'm going to crush your head, Satan, and I'm going to fix anything. What does he do? What's his response? His response is, the way I originally planned man to partner in, I'm not giving up on. So saying, I'm not going to crush your head, it's actually going to be the seed of a woman. Who is this talking about? This is the first prophecy about Jesus coming to give his life on the cross for us. What happens? Satan strikes Jesus' heel. Jesus is the seed, the offspring of a woman, right? And at the cross, Satan temporarily injures Jesus. But then what happens? Jesus rises from the dead and does what? Crushes Satan eternally. So this is actually where we could see Jesus very clearly. And that response is very important. Because what God plans to do is he's not abandoning his original plan for people. He wants them to walk in his image. That's what Jesus does. Jesus walks in the image of the Father. He always deals with the spiritual first. And then what does he do? He partners with the Father to the very cross so that God's glory can be known. This is the beautiful story of Jesus that's in all of us. In Jesus, we get to experience this term we throw around a lot in church called being born again. This idea that we get when we say yes to Christ and his forgiveness and his Spirit comes in us, we return to the image of God, which is love, and we start now in the spiritual. We know it's always in the spiritual first, and we turn into partners again with God to create life and destroy chaos. This is very important in the days we live in right now. It is very important that we choose to be in the image of God, to start in the spiritual, and then what do? We want to partner with him for justice in this world. We want to partner with him to bring peace into our streets again and to affirm goodness and to make the changes that our society needs. God's just allowed us to be in this time. And it's not a question of whether we've got to deal with the social turmoil around us. It's just a question of how are we going to do that? And the answer is we need to return to the image. Let's get the carpet off and let's get back to that great foundation of that wood floor that God has given to us. Now, why is this important? It's important because you've got to realize that the goal and the glory of God is to partner with his people to create life and destroy chaos. Very important, right? This is God's goal. God didn't by himself decide to defeat Satan. He decided, I created man to partner with me. I'm going to keep that plan. And so God's glory is always seen when you and I partner with him, get back to his image, back in the spirit, and then we create life and we destroy chaos. We as God's people have to do that right now, especially in the world we live in. So if you notice a lot of the verses in the Bible, Colossians 1, 27, that underlined portion, it's Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ partnering with you, is the hope of God's glory being seen, his life being known. Think about Romans chapter 8, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the groaning of creation that is subject to decay. What does it say about that? It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Why? Because God's glory is when his people return to his image, are filled with his spirit, and then partner with him to create life in this world. If there's ever a time where the church is more important in America, it's now. Because we're called to partner to bring forth life and destroy chaos. Think about what Jesus said in John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. God's saying the glory of God is when you, returning to the Genesis chapter 1 language, the glory of God is when you return to bearing fruit for him, partnering with him. So that is God's call. And here is why it's so important. Because God doesn't just fix this world by himself. That's really important to see. God doesn't just, quote unquote, fix this world by himself. What he does is he invites us to partner with him. Why do you need to know that? Because if you've ever prayed this prayer, it's left you very frustrated. God, why don't you fix this and, by the way, fix them? Now, there's nothing wrong within the Spirit saying, oh, God, you need to fix all of this. Right? We've got no hope but you. How long, oh God, right? There is nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, the Psalms encourage us to pray that prayer. But you've got to recognize that there is a better prayer to pray when it comes to what should I do with the world around me? And it's this. God, how do we, meaning you and I, heal this and love them? So we're tempted to say, God, why don't you fix this and fix them? And we've got a little bit of attitude when it comes to the idea of fixing people, right? And instead, we need to learn to pray, God, when I see something that troubles me, God, how do I partner with you to heal this and love them, because that's the image of God. He's a healer. He is someone who loves. And so that's the prayer we need to pray. That's the prayer when we see things on Facebook that upset us. That's when we see things in the news that upset us. When we go to workplace and we see chaos, we're tempted to think, why do I have to deal with this? God, why don't you fix it? And God's like, well, wait a minute. My goal and my glory has always been that we take this together. And maybe I showed you this, not so that it can just upset you, but maybe I showed you this because I want to partner with you to heal it. That's a very different attitude we can have. So we need to remember his image. We need to surrender in the spirit. And here's a really important word today. We need to own our partnership. Nothing worse than having a partner in a business who doesn't own his share of the work, responsibility. Boy, that's how people don't like each other anymore. All right, so we've got to remember his image. We need to surrender in the spirit, and we need to own our partnership. Now, let me, again, give us the context of why we're talking about this. There's all these public social turmoil issues. This is about your heart and my heart, okay? And what we're going to talk about in these next few moments, while we as the church talk to our community about all the justice, all the action, all the things we need to do, we've got to have that conversation with each other. But when we have that with each other in our church family, we've got to remember, stay in his image, which is love, which is easy to get off of. We need to surrender into the spirit. We'll talk about what most of us are surrendering to, and we need to own our part of the partnership, how we're having the conversations. So I'm going to ask Pastor Anidra and Wendell, who's also a deacon in our church, I'm going to ask them to come and join us as I'm just going to give us the points, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. Thanks for joining us, Wendell. Great shirt. We didn't even plan that. That's awesome. Okay, so here we go. First of all, if we're going to remember his image, that means we need to examine his image in our lives. In other words, we need to stay focused on not if they're living in God's image. We need to focus. Now, again, we're talking about our personal lives and how we care for each other in the church. We need to make sure that we are owning ourselves. It's my responsibility to make sure I'm in the image of God. It's not my responsibility to go hunt after everybody else. All right? That's number one. Am I open and obedient to his image? Number two, and I do have a few comments I'm going to want to say on this one, if we can get, there we go. We need to surrender to the Spirit. As your pastor, may I ask you to stop being controlled and filled by social media? Because most of us are more under the power of social media than we are under the Spirit of God right now. And so we'll talk about that some. And then number three, if I can get there we are. We need to own our conversations, all right? Most of us are breaking the cardinal rule of personal relationship. We are talking so that people will understand our point of view instead of having communication to understand the other person. So we want to listen to understand instead of being understood. And in that, then we can share each other's stories and pursue justice. So, three ideas that we've got to talk about as a church family, right? And not necessarily easy, and not everybody's going to understand us as we talk about them, which can be difficult. But this first one I think is pretty straightforward. It's just the issue, as God's family, we need to trust that Jesus and the Holy Spirit in each other to talk to us about how we're living. There's a tendency right now to be so in chaos and so upset that we're getting upset and then we start pointing out what everybody else is and isn't doing. And we need to make sure we trust our brothers and sisters to own their own moment of like, this is what God is telling me, and I need to be open and obedient. So, Pastor Ninja, we've talked about this one.
Yeah, the two words that stick out are open and obedient. Because Pastor Sean, the truth of the matter is I wear two hats. I wear the hat of a pastor, and I wear the hat of a mom of three black boys.
And maybe a wife, too.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, I have a husband,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
But I wear those two hats, and what I realized is that there were things that you were asking me to do as a leader that the mom didn't want to do. And that was because being a mom of three black boys and having a black husband, I was afraid of what people would say. I didn't want to be hurt, because the truth is, people are saying things that are hurtful. On both sides.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
So I didn't want to be in that position where I would have to experience pain and frustration.
Right.
But it wasn't until I was talking to a friend of mine about those two hats that I realized that I was wearing those two and that I was not allowing myself to wear the mom hat. Mm. And so for me, the Lord told me in that moment, he said, Anidra, I'm going to ask you to do things as a mom and a leader that you're not necessarily going to want to do. You're going to have to hear things that are painful. You're going to be frustrated. It's not going to happen overnight, but if you're willing to have those conversations, if you're willing to put yourself out there, there will be something beautiful that will come out of it. And so I'm in this seat because that was the word of the Lord for me.
Yeah.
I didn't want, as a mom, I didn't want to do it because it was fresh. It is fresh. But as the Lord, that was the word of the Lord. He was like, in spite of how you may feel and what you want to do, I need you to lead in this moment.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
Yeah. Thank you for being willing and obedient. So we had talked about this because as we were in the middle of trying to help our congregation process, there would be different times we'd talk, and you are always willing to serve, but there were definitely some places they just didn't want to go, mm-hmm. because in the end, to get in the middle of pain is to get some pain thrown your way,
yeah.
right? And we were in the middle of a conversation where I was trying to figure out how to serve our church family, and I was kind of inviting you in, and you were kind of... No. Not going, right? And I was kind of, and it was, and you know, you were wonderful, but it was just that idea of there was something deeper going on.
Yeah.
And you had kind of shared with me this idea, like, I'll just treat it as a leader and I'll not feel it as a mom and I'll not bring this into my family. You'll say it better than I will. But it was that issue that when God started speaking to you about the healer you are and the leader you are, and as a mom feeling these things and choosing to feel them and sharing, because you've been able to share with a lot of white brothers and sisters some things that it was like, I didn't know that or I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And when you were having that conversation with me, God's word came through you to me for our church family. We were talking on that Saturday. And what was so cool is because you were willing to open up and actually feel some pain and get in some painful space, you actually helped me understand how I could be part of your justice in terms of the particular places in the African American community. So it was such a gift, but it was, you had to kind of own your own, like, yeah. So I think, again, as a church family, we've got to let God's word come to us. And I think we're good there.
Yeah, yeah.
So number two, we've got to surrender to the Spirit. Now, so what's going on here? Our tendency, even within the church during this time, is to see other people and want to say, you need to do this, you need that. Step number one is, I'm going to own my stuff. I'm going to let God take care of the person next to me. Then what I'm going to do is this issue of surrendering to the Spirit. Now, what's really hard, and I'm guessing I'm not the only person who's experienced this, but Facebook and Instagram can get you rather upset these days, right? I mean, it's just really hard not to be upset. And I think the trials and tribulations of our time has revealed how much of a slave we are to social media. Now, the dynamic, the Bible says, better is a friend close by than a brother far away. It's the whole idea of those closest to you are the ones who can help you the most. Now, here's how we're violating that principle with our social media right now. We've said from the beginning at Cornerstone that when you came to Cornerstone, since Jesus was the center, no political party, no culture, no language, no generation, no economic status, none of those things are in the center. So we said when you come to Cornerstone, you're going to be with the, you know, if you're a Republican, you're going to be a Democrat. If you're black, you'll be with someone white or Hispanic or Asian or someone. If you're of the younger generation, you'll be with someone in the more seasoned generation. Is that the best way to say that? Okay. You know, it was just saying you're never going to, it's going to be an experience of the different. Because Jesus is moving in all those different areas, and all those areas need conviction and repentance, and all those areas have something to tell us and show us about the gospel. So what happens, though, is we start seeing Facebook, and we start getting really upset, or maybe we saw something on the news, and what we do is we get on Facebook, and we post those people, and we use a label, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, black, white, whatever. We talk about those people. And we're responding out of something we know is not true, and we're saying it with a rather bit of aggressiveness, right? Because we want those people to change and those people to know. But what's happening? Those people far away are not the only people on our Facebook. We've actually got some brothers and sisters in the church who share those labels. That when you're yelling at those people over there, you are wounding tremendously your brothers and sisters who share the same label. Because you said all those people, da, 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 and that's one of the labels they identify with. And here's the tragedy of it. You're never going to build a bridge to those people over there. They're never going to agree with you. You're never going to have the impact. Your brilliant observation and insight is not going to change their mind in any way, shape, or form. But you just lost a brother and sister in Christ who loves you dearly. Satan's won, right? And so what we've got to do is we've got to, one, stop doing social media more than reading the Bible. My suggestion is you are not allowed to be on social media more than you read the Bible. So if you really like social media, you better start reading the Bible more, okay? Like, make that your governor, and life will change in your life. And somehow the world will go on without you seeing everything on Facebook. And then what we've got to do is we've got to, when we get pricked by social media and when we get wounded by social media, we've got to stop responding there. In that moment, we need to surrender to the Spirit. And as we're going to talk about in step three, we've got to have conversations. So Wendell, before we ever talked about this, God had given you a powerful moment in this regard.
Yeah, he sure did. There was a guy I went to school with. I don't really have a relationship with him, but we were on speaking terms. Hadn't talked to him in about 25 years, though. And he was posting, he was really upset about what was going on with the Confederate statues in Richmond and the Confederate flag and that being removed. And he was super upset. And then, so I basically chimed in, and because I really didn't understand. I really was looking for understanding. And so my question to him was, why are you so upset? Why is this so important to you? And he explained that it was about heritage and not hate. And so we got into a deep discussion, and I kept asking questions. I think about Facebook, when you're texting someone and you just keep asking questions, they think you're arguing with them. So I made it a point to, Facebook has an app where you can actually call the person. So I decided, hey, I'm going to call this guy. So I called him. Hadn't spoken in 25 years. I don't know. I'm not the same person 25 years ago. He's not the same person 25 years ago. But I went ahead and called him, and I said, hey, man, I just want to let you know that I feel no ill feelings towards you. I'm not upset. I just wanted to gain understanding, and I just wanted you to understand where I come from and where, you know, and I just want to understand where you're coming from. And I explained to him about the Confederate flag and what I see when I see it. And then he explained his side, and I just stopped, and I just let him talk. And I let him go on and on and on, and I just listened. And what I found out from that was that he has an uncle and a brother-in-law who are police officers on one side of the family. And on another side of the family, he has two nieces who are biracial. And the two nieces are upset, and they're yelling at the cops that are in their family. And they tell them that, I hope you die in the line of duty tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's just terrible. So he's battling with that. So he's upset. He's hurting. And, you know, I never would have got that. Now I know what to pray for, but I never would have got that from Facebook.
Yeah.
Because all Facebook does is says, this is what I think. That's the end of it. But when you pull back the layers, pull back the onion, there's layers of, there's really actual pain on both sides.
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to address. And so he and I began to talk, and I didn't change my mind on what I thought. He didn't change his mind on what he thought. But we were able to have an adult conversation. So I left that one, and, you know, we kind of kept in touch. And I thought, man, if I can address the elephant in the room with someone who's not saved, who doesn't know Christ, or me, I should be able to have that exact same conversation with those who are in Christ, who I love, who pray for me, and I pray for them. I should be able to have that same exact conversation and not feel timid because you know I love you. Yeah. So I should be able to have that same conversation here. So I started to think about it because there are people who I've seen who go to this church have made some posts that have hurt me. And what I don't want is I don't want what's happening out there affect what's happening in here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just encourage us to be able to have that conversation, you know? And yeah.
It's so good. And I think, Wendell, and you know, you shared, I heard it through an eardrum, I was like, man, that's the exact sermon this Sunday is surrender to the Spirit, not to Facebook. And there's, I was telling first service, if there is a deliverance prayer from the demon of social media, we need to learn how to cast out the demon of social media. Because it's just like, when did it become the end all for everything? And when did we stop remembering that there's a soul with a story on the other side? Now, what we'll say is this. Are we saying that all social media is bad? Well, without social media, we wouldn't have heard of some of the injustices and some of the tragedies that have happened. So social media does have its place, but it's supposed to be in its place, and right now it's running around like an angry, spoiled two-year-old doing whatever it wants in all of our lives, right? And it doesn't listen when we say go to bed or stop talking or whatever. It just keeps going. And so we've really got to, as God's people, we've got to remember our image, and then we've got to bring this under control. And remember that we need to, I said it this way, we have exchanged face-to-face for Facebook, and because of that, we've lost all our friends. Yes. Like all these friends are no longer, people are unfriending each other all over the place right now. All right, so let's really hear that. Now that moves to the third point, which is this idea of you gotta own your conversations. And here in the end, again, Wendell, you didn't change your mind about what's true, what God wants, where you're at and all that. Like, you didn't change your mind and all that. But you actually planted a seed for someone to be more open. And you also learned how maybe some of the different ways that to help someone understand the justice. You've gained understanding of hearing how someone thinks, and now you're like, okay, this is how I can reach out, or this is what they're going to think. This is what I need to understand. What's my answer as we move forward in this? So you grew in that, and the story's not done. Who knows what God does a year from now? Who knows how that conversation of what you did plants the seed of Christ in the future? Maybe he's watching right now because he's like, that dude Wendell's awesome, and let me check out his church. I mean, who knows what's going on? So that's there. Now, we can be sincere. We can decide to not let Facebook overrule us and limit it. And then we can try to have a conversation, but we can be sincere and still have a bad conversation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And Anidra, we've talked through this one.
I failed miserably. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she was explaining to me that she didn't understand why people responding a certain way on social media. And I would reply to her, I was trying to explain how we feel, you know, as African Americans, that, you know, yeah. we're upset, you know, yeah. we're tired of this kind of whole thing. And so she responded back with, you know, but I don't understand, you know, just, you know, explaining her side. And I would chime back in. I was like, well, I hear you, and I'm sorry, but, and I would still try to get her to understand my side. And what I was talking to Pastor Sean, he said, you guys just did that whole cycle where you say, I'm sorry, I hear you for the first 30 seconds, and then you spend the rest of the time just still trying to get this person to hear your side. And you're not listening, you know, to what they're saying. And I was just like, oh, I failed. I failed miserably. Okay. And so with that, I had another friend of mine here from church And she called and she said, hey, I just want to know, how are you doing? And I started, you know, telling her how I was feeling, you know, and just, the list goes on of just my emotions right now. And she let me talk. And then, she explained how she was doing, and I let her talk. I didn't try to get her to see my side, and she didn't try to get me to see hers. We just talked. And after I shared everything that I felt, and, you know, we both kind of shared, she said, let's pray. And we prayed together. And this is not a black friend. This is a white friend. We prayed together. And I left that conversation feeling like this is what it should be like. We shouldn't be arguing with each other. We need to be praying together. We need to be praying together and learning to have healthy conversations and not trying to prove my point or the other person trying to prove their point. We just need to listen to the other side, knowing that there's something else to that.
It's so good. And the only reason I could give you the advice is because I failed at it 1,000 times myself personally. Right? And it really, literally, the principle comes from marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. That in conflict, the reason why two people fight and fight and fight and never resolve is because they're talking to be understood instead of talking to understand. Mm-hmm. So they're using the conversation to always say, understand me, understand me. Well, the other person wants to be understood. Yeah. They feel the same way. So they spend all their time, well, you just talked about yourself for the last 5 minutes. So now I'm going to talk about myself for the next 5 minutes. Yeah. And welcome aboard the crazy train. Off it goes. When it stops, nobody knows. I mean, it's just going to get worse. So what we tend to do right now in the midst of this, and again, it's generations trying to understand each other in the midst of what justice is right now. It's cultures trying to understand each other. It's urban, suburban, rural. I mean, there's all sorts of ways this plays. But we tend to do this. Oh, you know, hey, I saw what you posted. I heard what you said. I totally understand. But, and then we spend 5 minutes talking about how we want the other person to understand. To which the person says, based on what you just said, I don't think you understood me at all. So they say, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. I totally get you. But, and then it's just, you know. And the one thing everybody wants, nobody gets. Right? So now the issue is, if I would take the time to try to understand, it's actually going to open up the person to want to understand me, which is what you experienced.
It was healing. It was comforting to know that, you know, she just wanted to listen to what I had to say and just to pray with me and vice versa. It was healing to my heart for sure. Yes.
Well, the Bible says you reap what you sow, yeah. Right? So that's in the spirit. And the beautiful thing is I remember going to one marriage ceremony where the pastor said at the end, may you always try to serve the other more than they serve you, and may you always lose. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, you know, can you imagine being in a relationship where the other person's trying to understand you so much, and then you're trying to understand them? Yeah. That's called healing and growth and answers and power and life. It's called creating life and losing chaos. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be willing to do that. Now, of course, the fear is, as we know, that someone will say, so you're saying no one needs to hear my point of view, mm-hmm. right? So now you're just saying, particularly from the African-American side, it's like, I'm the one who understands the injustice, or here's my experience, mm-hmm. or here's what's going on. Won't you join me? Won't you feel and help me? Mm-hmm. And so the urgency and the crisis right now is kind of this one lie the enemy is, enough of talk. Let's just go do stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. If you don't have mercy on me mm-hmm. and help me understand and maybe understand where I'm at so then you can pick me up and say, now come into my story. If you don't do that, justice isn't going to happen. Yeah. And so we're not saying that we're not going to address things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch Cornerstone and where we've been and where we are. Will, you won't have to say anything. You'll see it, okay? But what you've got to understand is the quality of our relationships within the church. Come on, you got to seek to understand, not to be understood. Your voice will be heard. There's no question about that. But you've got to start there. So all of this, right? So we were talking about this, and Anidra, you were sharing some of what was going on, and I ended up sending you a text afterwards. And the text was the first sentence. The second sentence is after I polish it off for a sermon, okay? But the first sentence, this is what I texted you, because we had a pretty long conversation, and I texted you, thank you for loving me enough to suffer because of me. Because I realized this is costing you a lot.
Yeah.
It's costing you a lot to work this out. I mean, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. And then he said the next line, and blessed are you for persecuted, for, you know, for pursuing peace, right? Because in the end, there are people who just, they're in their own pain, in their own story, they're not ready to hear healing. They're not ready to heal. They're, you know, and there's a lot to say there. Yeah. But there's this issue. And, you know, you shared it. Stanley shared it. You know, Stanley was like, Sean, our worship leader is like, you're the second white pastor I've ever served under. And there's some of my friends who don't say nice things about me because I serve under you. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And it's like, I sent that to Stanley. I said, Stanley, thank you. Thanks for loving me enough that you're suffering because you know me. Right. And in September 2019, the Lord sent a word through us, which is why we have the t-shirts now is the time, that said our American culture was moving rapidly into a hate culture. And by the elections, which is not even close to here yet, we were going to be it wasn't just going to be permissible, it was going to be the air we breathe. And a hate culture is, if you don't hate who I hate, then I hate you. That's a hate culture, all right? We're in that pretty much right now, and it's really pounding the church pretty bad. And white brothers and sisters who are getting grief because they're trying to understand Black Lives Matters right now, right? And it's like, how, you know, so they're getting it. It's like in all, you know, older generation, younger generation, you know, God and country and what that means, all these, I mean, they're all there.
I just want to remind everyone that this is spiritual.
There's like, no question.
The enemy is we're under attack.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, 2020 has been terrible, and it looks like the enemy is just winning. But I just want to remind everyone, he's not winning.
That's right. Absolutely not.
God is not surprised by any of this. Any of this is going on, God's not surprised. He's got it all under control. And I said in the first service, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I just wonder, Pastor Sean said something earlier about, I don't want to hear pray, but that's the foundation.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Absolutely.
But I think the frustration is we want to pray and then we want to put action behind it.
Yeah.
So that's I just wanted to throw that out there before I
yep,
forget.
That's
but
right.
that's what we're looking for right now. And I know you spoke before about having our white brothers and sisters hold us up and help us to get through this. I know someone asked me on Facebook, like, what can I do to help? And I just said, just be there for me. Be stand with me. Be angry for me when I need to be angry.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's so good. We're in this place. I gave the analogy. I didn't give it in first, I've been at several marches, prayers down in Richmond. I'll be there at 2 p.m. for worship at Lumpkin's Jail. We're gonna be down there at 2 o'clock. It's just Body of Christ getting into worship. I can make for a long day, but a good day.
That's okay.
And I heard a guy say, he said, you know, I can never understand the pain my wife went through to give birth. But my job was to be in the room with her and say, keep breathing. And then he made the parallel. He said, you know, this is one of the cries of the African community. You're taking our breath away. You don't even allow us to breathe. And he said, I can't understand the pain you're going through, but I can be with you and say, keep breathing. Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the breath. You know, John 20, and Jesus breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Like, so that's what we can do for each other. And as we do that, we have different places of confusion, places we feel like you're not understanding my pain, but I'm trying to understand yours. And yet, isn't the reason we're Christians because Jesus said, I love you enough to suffer for you?
Absolutely.
Isn't that the gospel? Jesus, because he loved us, suffered for us. Jesus said, I've got one commandment for you. Love each other the way I've loved you.
That's right.
That's our job. And if we will do our job, thank you for loving me. And I encourage you to send that text. You don't have to do the next theological line if you don't want to. But there's a brother and sister who's on the opposite side of a conversation who's having it with you or is your friend. How about telling them, thank you. Thanks for loving me enough to suffer because you know me. Because in your world, it's probably not looked on great that you know me right now. I mean, what a beautiful thing, because that's what Christ did for us. And that's what we need to do for each other. So usually each of these services, we finish with praying for the sick and things like that. And tonight, we're going to have our worship service at 6:30. I'm telling you what, it is good medicine. We did it last week. Oh, yes. Come on out, tailgate. Literally tailgate. You bring hot dogs. I'm hungry. Bring them. It'll be great. I will eat one of them for you. Come and hang out. Spend about 40 minutes of worship. Honor Pastor Cassie for a moment. And say hi to your friends. It's good medicine. Even if you got to stay in your car with your mask, just come drive in, wave a little bit, talk through the glass for a minute. I'm telling you, it's good medicine right now. Go love each other. And say thank you. So we're just going to finish with a moment of prayer that says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to suffer because of me. And in trusting that you're going to take care of me, turn my attitude to saying thank you to others who are suffering because they know me right now. I'm telling you what, God could change the world with that. He could. So do you guys want to be part of the prayer?
Sure.
That'd be good. We did it. Everybody, you want to join me online? Would you join us as we finish with this prayer?
Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you that I'm thankful that we can, Wendell and I and so many other families can be in a church where we can have safe conversations. Lord, I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters, and Lord, that we can talk in a healthy way, and we only can do that because of you. It is you that gives us the strength to do things that we feel that we don't have the power and the strength to do on our own. So, Father, we're just thankful that you're going to be with us in every conversation. You're going to be with us, Lord, just as we're trying to manage through this very difficult season. And Lord, I just ask that you would just be with us, that you would guard our hearts, that Lord, that you would just give us words to say, Lord, when we feel like we don't have the words, and that Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, that we would hear the word of the Lord for us in this season and the role that we are to play. That Lord, you don't want us to be bystanders, but Lord, that you want us to participate in what you want to do in our communities. Mm-hmm. And so Lord, I just come against every attack of the enemy and the division that he's trying to create between white and black, between our brothers and sisters. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. And Father, we just thank you that you're going to bring about healing, Lord. And what the enemy has tried to make for bad, you're going to turn it for your good. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we are expecting you to do something great in this, even though we don't understand, even though some of the things that we may see may be painful and may be hurtful, Lord, we just know that you do have a purpose. And that if we're willing to put ourselves out there, if we're willing to take the risk, that we would see something beautiful. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Father God, we just thank you for your healing power, Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank mm-hmm. you that you are the God of love. You're not the God of love, but you are love. And I just pray right now, Father God, over each and every person's heart. God, heal hearts, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Father God, heal your people, your church, oh God, right now while we're quarantined and not able to come together. Some people are in a backslidden state because some people need to come together. We need a fellowship, Lord. I just pray that even now in their home, Lord God, that you would just meet people right where they are. Fill them, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would open ears so they can hear you when you speak, oh Father God. I just pray that people will have opportunities to dialogue, to speak, to heal. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. We're excited about the rest of the year. 2020 will not end the way it started.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Plead the blood of Jesus over each and every single person watching online and here today, Lord God. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we just pray for the one who's listening to this, who's never accepted you as Lord and Savior. Lord, that's where peace begins. That's the foundation we need, because hate, pain, tragedy will overtake us unless your healing and victory become greater in our lives. So Lord, for the one who's just knowing today that they need you as their healer and as the one who will help them, Lord, not only create justice in this world, but justice in their own hearts, bless them. Lord, we pray that you would teach each of us to go from saying, God, why don't you fix this, to saying, God, how will we together heal this? Let it be so now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church family, it's been so good. Would you, on the connection card, let us know how to be praying for you. If you do have prayer requests for healing, please put them down. We'll be praying for you. And enjoy starting the summer playlist tomorrow. And I hope to see you at 6:30 tonight in our glorious gravel parking lot. Amen. God bless you.